Now, Father God, I thank you for your holy, written, and anointed word. I also thank you, Father, for the word that's delivered by the Spirit of God this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving amongst your people. I thank you, God, that you are in this place. I thank you for the anointing that's in this place, Lord. I praise you, Father, for your kindness. Lord, you are so worthy to be praised, to be worshiped, to be adored. God, we so give you thanks, Lord. We know that every good and perfect gift comes down from you, Lord. And we know that the anointing from heaven is a good thing. And we know that that comes down from heaven, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that anointing. As we minister the word of God, Lord, we thank you for the anointing to speak the word. We thank you for the anointing to hear the word. We thank you for your grace, your blessing to call us up, up, up to the things of heaven, upward to the things of God, that we'll be able to see clearly where we're headed, that the anointing of Jesus will be upon us. And we praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Say this with me as you sit down. I'm ready
to hear the word.
And the word
will impart to me
life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the days of blessing are upon us. I don't believe they're going to come upon us. I believe they're on us. I believe that. I believe that God is pouring out his blessing upon us. And as we look into his word, we're going to see how to receive the blessing of God that is upon us. Hallelujah. It won't come automatically. Let me say that again. We love the blessing of God, but it won't come automatically. There's lots of people in the world who are not receiving the blessing of God. It won't come automatically. There's something that you and I have to do in order to be able to receive the blessing of God. There are things that he wants us to be aware of in order to receive the blessing of God. And one of the key areas of being able to receive the blessing of God is do the things that Jesus did. Or let me put it another way. As Jesus did the things that he seen the Father doing, he's calling us to do the things that we see him doing and saying to us. Now, I'll have to admit to you when we got into talking about this building over here and it's going to cost finances to put that up and so forth, and you can't help but let your mind go, okay, why should we spend this money on this finance? Maybe there's other things that we should spend finances on. There's places in the world, there's people going hungry and so forth, and maybe money should go there and so forth. And the thing is, there are multitudes of good things to do. Multitudes of good things to do that we could do that wouldn't be God calling us to do it. When Jesus was here, there was all kinds of things, good things for him to do. But what did he say? He said, I only do the things that I see my Father doing. So we have to do what we're called to do, not just a good thing. And a lot of Christians have gotten themselves into a place today where they are not under any kind of authority. They just do whatever they feel is good to do. And that's not what we're called to do. It may be a good thing, but we're not necessarily called to do every good thing. It's important for us to know what God is saying to do and then do it, even if it's contrary to what you think is the good thing to do. It's so important for you and I to be able to have an understanding that God is speaking to us. God is saying things to us. God is teaching us things. And as we adhere to those teachings, he will give us more. He will give us more and more and more. So we want to do more than just the good thing. Remember when Jesus was getting prepared for his burial and Mary went in there with the Bible says it was a year's wages it cost for this anointing oil, and she poured it over his feet, getting him ready. And even the disciples said, what are you doing? Wasting all that money, it seemed like. Spending all that money. It could have been given to the poor. Could have been a good thing to do, to give it to the poor. But Jesus said, leave her alone. He knew it was part of God's plan. He knew it was part of God's plan to, and even though it didn't look good to the natural, it didn't look like it made sense in the natural, this was the thing that God was calling her to do with that money. We cannot use the natural way of thinking in order to make decisions on what we should spend our time at and our finances at. We have to hear from God. Well, I want to read to you a scripture again in Ezekiel chapter 47. And I read this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I forget that, I forget now. But I want to read to you the scripture about the river of God flowing out of the temple of God. Because there's some very specific things there that we need to look at a little bit again. I remember when I was praying and God stirring this scripture in my spirit, I believe that it's a scripture, it's a word of the Lord for our particular time, for where we're at. And God wants us to do something with this word, not just read it, but we want to remember the word that we heard so that we'll begin to apply the word that we hear. In Ezekiel chapter 47, the prophet is saying, "The angel took me and brought me to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced the east. The water was flowing from underneath the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out the right side." On the right side of the temple. "And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the water came up to my ankles." So Ezekiel, the prophet, was taken in this vision, in this spiritual vision, and he was seeing the flow of God coming out of the temple, and he was standing in it, and it seemed like the angel wanted him to measure to see how much flow was coming. "And again," verse 4, "and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water then came up to my knees." So for a while, you know, if this speaks to us in life, we may be able to get into ankle deep and stay there if we don't do something. "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. The water was too deep, water in which one swam, a river that could not be crossed. It was so huge, man could not even carry himself within the river of God." So the water came out of the temple, a man stepped into it, first to his ankles, then to his knees, then to his waist. It was a progression. Sometimes we see God doing some things that are absolutely magnificent, and we think that we can jump from a poor, pathetic state into the very center and will of everything that God is doing. But God speaks to us about a progression that takes place, that we grow in the things of God and that we grow in the influence of God. And the reason for that is because on the outside, we can jump into things that are pretty powerful in the things of God, and we can even learn to do some things and operate under the anointing of God without the inside catching up. See, the inside has to grow with our experience in God. There has to be a faith level that increases in you and I as we grow in the things of God. We can't grow from material blessing to material blessing to blessing without growing on the inside. Or these material things will get a hold of us and we'll be deceived by them. We have to grow on the inside. We have to keep up on the inside with what's happening on the outside. And the outside anointing of God is very real. I'm convinced that people can experience the blessing, the grace in God that somebody else prayed for. And it seems like they're doing good. But if they haven't changed on the inside, they're going to go nowhere. It'll soon catch up on them. And in Ezekiel's vision here, they were going out, first the ankle, then the knee, then the waist, and then a river, that they had been changed to the place where they could just flow with the river of God. You're just in it and you just flow. And God takes you. You see, I've been in ministers' meetings before, and sometimes they'll stand up and they'll say, "Well, why don't you tell us what your vision is, or what God is doing, or where you're going?" You know, all these, really, to me, many of it is man-made leadership. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm saying if we depend totally on that, you're going to get man-made results. There has to be something bigger than that. I remember sometimes being in those situations, and they'd get to me and they'd say, well, I'm just glad to hear you guys know where you're going, but to be honest with you, I get into where God is going and I really don't know. I'm not really sure where we're going. I'm not really 100% sure what God is going to do. In order to put it in articulate language, I have a sense where God is taking us. I have a sense that God is leading us into revival. I have a sense that God is going to change the very environment of PEI like never before. But to hear, to set a goal toward that or to make that happen and so forth, I don't know. I believe God wants to take us to a place that we've never been before. And if we're going to a place we've never been before, we better have a guide. We better have somebody who knows where he's going. And that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He leads us to where we don't know to go. Praise the Lord God Almighty. So when we get in that flow, we can just be carried along by the river of God. I'll tell you one thing, folks. To get in that flow and to get carried along by the river of God, you better learn to have walked before God with clean hands and a pure heart, because that river will also destroy you. If you have not decided to pay the price to follow Jesus, you won't be ready to flow where the river goes. Now, that may be kind of a downer for a word, but I want to be just as honest as I possibly can to you. Because I'm a preacher that believes to hang on for the long run. This life is not a sprint where we just have it over real quickly. We get some things happen in our life really quickly. This life is a marathon where we begin to learn things and we grow stronger and so forth, and we learn as we go so that we're hanging on. And so when it's all said and done, and when we come before the Lord, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've heard the word, you've acted on it, you've done it. You haven't tried to fake your way through it. Glory to God. I feel good about what the Lord is saying this morning, because I know he wants to take us to a higher place. And these are the things that we have to learn in order to get there. So fullness doesn't come all at once, but there is a river. There is a river of life. It's also mentioned in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. One day when we're in heaven, we're going to see that continually. Now, over back again in Ezekiel 37, that river of life now flowed from the throne of God, and it went into the Dead Sea, the Bible says, and everywhere the river went, life came. Everything lived wherever the river went, and that it brought that Dead Sea to life. Things began to grow in it. And as we've said before, that Dead Sea is a sea that there nothing lives in it because there's so much salt in it. But the river of life that comes from God can bring anything to life. And it brought that river to life. Now, the interesting thing about that scripture, you can read it again in Ezekiel 37, that the Bible says that wherever the river flowed, there was life. But where it did not flow, there was no life. And one of the places that it did not flow was in the marshes, the swamps and marshes around the Dead Sea. Around, it didn't go there. And that speaks to me about a people who are hanging around on the outside and not jumping in. That's why I put this prophetic word again in the bulletin from a couple of weeks ago. And I want us to look at it again just for a minute, because one of the reasons why I decided to put that in again, I put it last week, because when that prophetic word came, it hit me so hard. It stirred my spirit. When prophetic words come, I often don't get that, be overcome with the Lord in such a way that there, it seemed like such a strong word for us to pay attention to hear, because God was speaking to us that if we're not careful, we'll hang around in the marshes and the swamps so long that the river of life won't be able to get to us. And I believe what that means to us is that if we are not jumping right in to the things of the kingdom of God, into the things that where God has planted us, and partaking in the advancing the kingdom of God where we're planted, then we're hanging around in the marshes and don't expect the life to follow you out there. We have to jump into the river, to what God is doing. Take heed to the word of the Lord, for the day is coming where those who are dabbling around the outside, they will look and they'll look and they'll look, and I think you can look too long sometimes. They'll look around, they'll watch, and they will try to see, and they'll look some more, and some will look too long and turn away, and turn away and go the other way. They will turn and go to the other direction into darkness. You can look at what God is doing too long. I believe when you look too long, you begin to grieve the Spirit of God. You begin to grieve the Spirit of God that's trying to influence you, that's trying to get you to come on in deeper, to come a little bit closer to your brother and sister in the Lord, that you recognize that Jesus Christ is our elder brother, and that is his crowd, or the crowd that you're linked to. Not where you've come from. Some of those, you are not linked to them like you are to the body of Christ. It doesn't make any difference where you come from. Doesn't make any difference where your nationality. It doesn't make any difference at all. Jesus is our elder brother. He is the one we have in common. He's the one that's brought us into the family of God. And we need look nowhere else but to the family of God. Jump in there. Support the family of God. Do everything you can to see that God is able to advance his kingdom within the body of Christ that you're connected with. Jumping into the river will cause the flow to influence you, so that life will come into your life. When I say life will come, I'm not just talking about the natural life. I'm talking about the Zoe of God, the God kind of life, life as God has it. It will begin to flow in and through you and change you if we step into the things of God, if we don't dabble around in the marshes and in the swamps. Swamp's not a good place to live anyway. The river flows, and God is saying, drink of the life of God.